He is good. He is good. He is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just spend a little time in prayer. I have a few things here that we can agree in prayer. You can pray in the Spirit as I pray in English if you want, or just listen and we agree together. First of all, I want to pray for President Trump and what's happening in the Middle East. We want to pray for Israel. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for our president. You said that we should pray for all of our leaders. So we pray, first of all, for him. We pray, Lord, that he would walk in the wisdom of God. And I know this is not an easy time. I pray that he would experience the peace of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and that he would receive guidance from the Holy Spirit and the people and the advisors around him, that they would listen to your voice in the name of Jesus. We pray for protection over him, our president. We pray for the protection for all the leaders that are around him. We pray for protection for all the leaders throughout our land in all levels of government in the name of Jesus. We pray for protection over our land. It's the spirit of lawlessness. We cast you down from your lofty place. In Jesus' name, you are defeated, and you can no longer bring that lawlessness throughout our land in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Israel. We pray for the leaders of Israel. There again, we pray for protection. We pray, Lord, that they would give their hearts to you and receive the Messiah as their Savior in the name of Jesus. But also, Lord, we pray that they would walk in your wisdom in this time. And it's not easy for Israel, much easier for us than Israel. But we thank you for your protection over the Israeli people. We pray, Lord, that the Israeli people would turn to you, that they would totally just trust in you and turn to you in the name of Jesus. We pray for the Iranian people. We pray, Lord, for freedom for them. Many, many have been born again. Great revival in Iran. And we pray, Lord, for protection over them. And we pray, Lord, for freedom from the control of the enemy, from the control of the king of the spirit of Persia in the name of Jesus. We command you to come down from your place. We break the control over the land of Iran in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We pray for, we have a friend who has relatives there. She's from Iran. And we pray for Nazi. We pray, Lord, that she would be encouraged, that she would put her faith in you. And we pray for her relatives who are still in Iran. We pray for protection over them. We pray that they would be born again, filled with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for revival here in York County. We pray for an outpouring of your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that we would be led by the Spirit of God, because we are instruments in your hand to bring revival in this area in the name of Jesus. I pray for the churches that are meeting this morning, the churches of York County. Pray especially for those who are preaching the Word of God, that they would preach it with boldness, great authority in the name of Jesus, that we would see a move of the Holy Ghost in our churches, including here in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord. We worship. Let's just worship him. Lift your voices and worship him. He hears our prayers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we pray for our troops, those men and women, even from our families here, that are going to be protecting people over there.
Yes.
In the Middle East, Lord.
Yes.
Lift them up to you.
Yes.
Lord, protect and watch over them.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Give them wisdom.
Yes.
Know to move to the left or to move to the right, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Deliver them, Father, from the evil snare, from the arrow that flies by night, O Lord God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 We believe he hears our prayers. Amen. He hears our prayers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a God we serve.
Yes.
The Almighty God, the El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift him up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe when we come together like this, I believe for a manifest presence of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that he will continue to work in our midst, may it be through signs, wonders, and miracles, or may it be through the preaching of the word and the peace and contentments that he gives to us. So that's what I believe for every service, that we are not just tied into our own desires and our own thoughts, but that we have a manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst. Are you in agreement?
Amen.
Amen. All right, a few things I want to share before we get into the Word of God. Well, this is partly the Word of God as well, but Psalm 103, I want to continue to share that psalm over and over again. And I really encourage you that we would get into meditating on healing scriptures, because the enemy tries to defeat us. The enemy comes with sickness and disease, but we can be overcomers because of the promises of God. So in Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," which we've just done that, really, haven't we? Our soul has been blessing the Lord. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Then it says, "And forget not his benefits." Come on, help me. Forget not his benefits. There's benefits in serving God. One of those benefits is, like it says here, that he forgives all of our iniquities or all of our sins. And he heals all of our, come on, that includes every sickness, every disease. He heals all of our diseases. Is that what it says? He redeems my life from destruction. You know, the things we're seeing since yesterday, the attack on Iran, I mean, we have it so good. We have it so good. People in that whole region. Amen. But we need to believe for that for here as well. If war would come here, the promises of God are still the same. And therefore, we need to be alert, making sure that we have that settled in our heart, that he is our protector. So he redeems our life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. You got a crown on. It's loving kindness and tender mercies.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
And he fills my mouth with good things,
yes. So
that my youth is renewed as the eagle.
Yes.
And then you can go on, and there's some other things there as well. So, Father, I thank you for the healing power of God that is within us. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that our healing was paid for. We have victory over sickness and disease because it was paid for on the cross. So he is our Redeemer. He is the one who paid the price for every sickness and disease that would try to come upon us. And we thank you for the healing power of God flowing into each one of us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We received, can you pull up the message from Dale? Is it okay if I read that? Sorry, I should have had it open here. It's under, yeah, we have it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Dale, he sent a message, Dale Armstrong, you know who I'm talking about, right? He sent a message from Ukraine. And I thought I would share it with you. It says, a few hours ago, the USA and Israel attacked Iran. This would have been yesterday. This is without a doubt a tipping point in world affairs. Pray for wisdom for our leaders, as we did, as they have made a decision that certainly affects us all. Be aware that Russia and Iran do have military agreements. The voices in Moscow, are very threatening at the moment. The majority of missiles and drones that have been devastating Ukraine were manufactured either in whole or in part in Iran. Pray that these factories are destroyed. Additionally, many critics of President Trump now understand why so many weapons were not released to Ukraine. They are in fact being used now in Iran, specifically the Tomahawk missiles. Weapons production in the USA is at a low tide. There is an interesting road ahead of us, and thank God Jesus is Lord. Yes. I am praying for you all, and thank you so much for your prayers for me here in Ukraine. Father, we lift up Dale to you right now. Bring him before the throne of God. And we thank you, Lord, for your protection, even in the midst of war and a war-torn land. We believe, Father, that he is there on assignment for you. And we thank you, Lord, that he will fulfill that assignment with great power and authority in the name of Jesus. We pray that he will be a blessing to the pastors and the families in that war-torn area, and that he will bring hope through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that your protection is around him, around his family here at home, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get into the Word of God. It is quite interesting how many times when Randy is teaching, and if you don't come for Randy's teaching, you're missing something. But I'm not going to, you know, force you or anything like that. But it is an opportunity for us to hear even more from the Word of God. And he is a very gifted teacher. He flows in the Spirit of God as he's teaching. And it's interesting that how many times when he's teaching something in the first hour that we get together, it meshes with what I have or what I'm going to share with. And that's Holy Spirit. And even Phil this morning, when he opened up, he had mentioned things that I'm going to talk about here this morning. And so somehow the Spirit of God meshes all this together and is trying to get our attention and giving us a message. Amen. Randy used the word doctrine a lot because he's talking about Timothy. And Paul tells Timothy that he needs to make sure that the leaders he puts in and that he himself also follows sound doctrine. So I want to just talk about that a little bit. We are in a time, and maybe the world has always been, or maybe the church has always been, we are in a time when it seems there's great deception. And there's deception even in the church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. I'm not talking about just here. I don't think that there's deception here among you. But if we don't have the Word of God to judge the things, because we don't know. Because if I'm in deception, I won't know it because I'm deceived. Right? And that's why we have one another. That's why we have the Word of God, that we can judge things that are spoken and things that we're experiencing in our lives so that we are not deceived. Are you here this morning? So I ended last week. I was thinking, how's this going to all flow from last week? And I listened to it again. And last week we ended talking about rebuking the enemy using the Word of God. And when we speak the word, it enforces his defeat. Well, it does flow right into what we're talking about today, because we're going to see the importance of the Word of God in keeping us on the right track. So turn to Matthew chapter 24. Very familiar scripture in this light, Matthew chapter 24. You want to do this? Matthew chapter 24. Maybe I better stop saying that. Maybe somebody will jump up and say, yeah, I'll do it. I have to tell you a little story. You like stories, right?
Sure.
So you know that I have Amish background, right? Yeah, you all know I have Amish background. I grew up a little Amish boy and became a big Amish boy. I left at 14, actually. I just stopped going to the Amish church at 14 because I got born again and went to Bible studies and things like that, which the Amish don't have. So when you sit in the Amish church and the preacher gets up, he would say, ich bin so arm und gring, ich wäre etwas schönste, as best I can, as mich. Now, if you're real spiritual this morning, you'll get the interpretation. No, they would say, I am so poor and weak, and I think there's somebody else here that could do a better job than me. And I just thought of that because of what I said. And I've often said, well, if they would say that to me today, if I was sitting in the Amish church, I would probably say, well, I'll do it. Not that I think I'm any better than them, but when we present the Word of God, I'm excited about it.
Amen.
And I believe the Spirit of God leads us and directs the words that come from Him. Of course, we're not perfect, and I may say some things that are not life-giving. I hope I don't, but that is a possibility because we're human, right? But nonetheless, it is always my goal, Kathy's goal as well, it's always our goal that we would present the Word of God by the Spirit of God. And like it says in Corinthians, where Paul said that he trembles, and I guess that's where the Amish preacher gets it. I'm not sure. You know, when they preach, they don't have the Word God from them. They don't have the Bible open. And they don't have notes. Everything by memory. And there were some of them that couldn't preach. Sorry to say. I'm not trying to judge them, all right? There were some really good ones, too. So it is our goal that the Word of God would produce life and that we don't just give the law or truth in a sense that would put us into bondage. It is always our goal that we would have the Word of God in truth along with the Spirit of God that gives us life. There's a scripture that I quote many times before I preach, while I'm preparing and before I preach, and it is that God has made me an able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter which kills, but of the Spirit which gives life. And we can apply that to any time we share with people or anybody. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it is, there it says that Paul, he said, I did not come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God, so that our faith would not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power and the ability of God. That is our goal as we share the Word of God. I know sometimes people say to me, well, you have an accent and so forth. And maybe my English, I know we have English teachers here and school teachers, so I could be intimidated because my English is always not always correct. And that's because of my background and my education and things like that. But nonetheless, we can't look at that. We have to look at what the Spirit of God is saying, and that is our goal. Because with the anointing of God, the Word of God will come alive on the inside of us. Hallelujah. I'm already preaching and you don't know it. So Matthew chapter 24, interesting here, because this in the setting where the disciples had asked him, Jesus had said that this temple, they were looking at the temple, and Jesus told them that in 3 days it would be torn down. Now he was talking about his body, but look what it's when he said that. But look at this. Then verse 1, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, I think if it was me, I would probably be excited to show him about the temple.
Yes.
and show him all the riches of the temple and say, oh, wow, look what we've done, and so on. But Jesus wasn't impressed by that. He goes on and says, do you not see all these things? Talking about the temple and the things around the temple. Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Wow, that's like that'll burst your balloon if you think the temple is so great. And he comes back and he says, well, you know, it's all going to be destroyed. And it literally happened physically in 70 AD, where the temple was completely destroyed. And we have not had a temple since, I don't think. Have we? Because they had there was not a temple there since. And we could get in some things about if the temple is going to be rebuilt and things like that, but that's not my message this morning. But what I want to say here is they went on, because of what he said, they went on and privately asked him, when will these things happen? And Jesus answered verse 4 and said to them, take heed. I mean, why did he bring this in? Take heed that no one deceive you. Interesting, isn't it, in the setting that he said that. But they were asking about end times. So Jesus said, don't be deceived by the things that people will say or try to make you believe about his coming again. Because even during the time of the apostles, that's why he says in Timothy, so many things in many of the epistles, you know, he points out that we need to stay on solid doctrine concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning his return. Because he had told them that he would return when he ascended into heaven. Then he goes on and says, take heed that no one deceives you. I'm in verse 5 of chapter 24. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. That's like somebody comes and says, well, I'm Christ. I'm the Messiah. And people have over the years. And people have followed them. And they were destroyed. That's the sad part of it. Because deception will put us in a position for the enemy to rule and reign over our lives and bring destruction.
That's right.
But the word of God will give us a firm foundation, and therefore we will not be deceived. He goes on and says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Well, that applies to today, doesn't it? Huh? He says, you'll hear of war. I mean, we hear of wars, rumors of wars. I think all my life. But especially today because of what's going on in the Middle East. But he said, don't get troubled. He said, don't let these things trouble you. Come on. Another place he says, let not your heart be troubled. This is in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I say that I will go and come back to you, I'll come back again. I'm putting in my own words. And I go to prepare a mansion for you. So he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Then later on in John 14, I'm not sure which verse it is, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And there again, he says, peace I leave with you.
Yes.
And he had just talked about Holy Spirit being peace. So the Holy Spirit within us gives us peace, even in times of war and times that we live in now. He says, peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. He says it again. Here he says it again. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he goes on, talks about a few other things. And then in verse 11, he says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Now, we could do a whole message how to identify false prophets. Maybe we will. I don't know. But at this point, we won't this morning. But it is interesting that he brings up that there is prophets that could rise up and that they could deceive us, because they will deceive many. And then in verse 23, it says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, and there, do not believe it. Jesus gave us specific instructions so we can go to the Word of God where it says how he is going to return.
Yes.
He will return in the clouds and we will join him. And then it talks about later that he will return again and he will touch down on the Mount of Olives.
Amen.
So if somebody says, well, yeah, you know, he's out here in the desert. Have you ever noticed? I don't know if you have noticed. But whenever somebody starts talking about a person that is rising up and he could be the Christ and so forth, or even the Antichrist, and they always come from an unknown place. They always come from the desert or something like that. That is a flag, that is a indicator that it's not the real thing. Because Jesus gave us specific instructions. He said when he comes, every eye is going to see him.
Yes.
He's not going to come from the desert somewhere. Come on, are you here today?
Amen.
Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, and there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise. Now look at this part. This kind of maybe troubles me or causes me to be pretty serious about it. It says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, would we consider ourselves as part of the elect? Yes.
Sure.
We're part of the elect. Are we not?
Yes.
Because we follow him. We follow after godliness. We follow after the things of the Word of God. Therefore, we are part of the elect. See, we were all slow in answering that. But we are.
Amen.
Because I am holy in the sight of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So I'm part of the elect because I'm a son of God. We're a child of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're a child of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not orphans. We have a father. We have Christ. We are in him. So it is possible that prophets today, in people we would call prophets today, or people that sometimes even on the national scene, we have to make sure that we're in a place in the Word of God that we can judge those things by the Word of God. And recently, there has been some well-known so-called prophets that have fallen. And whenever a person who is well-known in ministry and that person falls, it destroys many people's lives. And the reason is this, because they put their faith in a person rather than in the Word of God.
Yes.
I never want you to put your faith in me. Of course, we honor each other and we affirm each other and so on. But you have to, everything I say, it should be judged by the Word of God to make sure it's true. Or make sure it lines up with the Word of God.
Amen.
And every one of us have the right to do that. And if I don't want to yield to that kind of accountability, then it would be an indicator to you that I'm a false prophet.
Say that.
Because one of the things concerning these prophets today, and again, I'm not against prophets. I don't know if I wasn't going to go into this today, but since I started it, maybe I have to finish it. I don't know. But in the New Testament, we are not led by prophets. In the Old Testament, they were. In the New Testament, prophets they may give guidance. I mean, not guidance. They may give something in a person's life that tells about the future.
Encouragement.
Prophecy in itself is encouragement, exhortation. And prophecy in itself does not have guidance in it. Now, it may be confirmation of something that is in your heart. That's the key. If a prophet comes to you and speaks a word over you, or if he would speak a word over me, I would judge that thing. And we need to judge it together. If I stand up here and prophesy, and then Randy, he stands up here and prophesies, and then maybe David or Giovanni, they come up here and they prophesy. If I have a true heart, and if I have a heart of integrity, I will be completely open for all of you to judge what I just said. And one of the things of a false prophet today is they are not open, they are not accountable, and that is a true sign that there's something wrong. They're not accountable to somebody else. They're not willing for their words, whatever the words are that they give, to be judged by other so-called prophets or other people around them.
Yes.
And that's a big indicator for me. Again, I am not against, don't go out of here and say that I'm against prophets. I am not. There is a prophet ministry in the church today, a prophet's ministry. But there should not, we should not look to that ministry to receive guidance in our lives. If there is things about the future, word of knowledge, or word of wisdom, or whatever may be presented, it must agree with what God is saying in here. Because we are led by the Spirit of God under the new covenant.
Yes.
And if I go against that, and I have in the past, it'll lead me to destruction. It'll lead me astray. And if I'm not careful, I will be deceived. So just because somebody does signs and wonders doesn't mean they're a true prophet. In fact, in Revelations it says that the false Christ and the kingdom of darkness, that they'll be able to deceive many people because they do signs and wonders. Even to the point, I think it's the false prophet is going to be killed, and he's written, or the Antichrist, I'd have to look at that again, and he's going to be raised again. And that is going to lead many people astray. So we cannot put our confidence in signs and wonders and miracles. Now please hear me. You have often heard me say that I believe signs, wonders, and miracles follow us and follow the Word of God.
Yes.
And they do. But if I come to you and I have a control attitude, or if I have control and I'm trying to control you, that is an indication that my life is not right. And that is an indication I am not a true minister of the Word of God. And if you ever see that in me, I trust that you will come and point it out to me. And I trust we're all open in that same way.
Yes.
That we are open because that's a protection for us. That'll keep us from getting into deception. So signs, wonders, and miracles, we believe that God uses those to confirm the Word of God.
Yeah.
And because we preach it, and then it happens, people are led to the Lord because of that. But I cannot put my faith in those things.
Yes.
I cannot say, well, because Steve here, he has signs, wonders, and miracles following him, so he's really spiritual. Or he's really a man of God. Or he's a prophet. We cannot measure spirituality by the signs, wonders, and miracles that follow us. Or I can't measure your level of spirituality just because you prayed for somebody and there was a miracle. Our confidence is in the Word of God. Randy talked a lot about walking in godliness. That is the true indicator of your level of spirituality. So let's not put our faith in those things. Let's put our faith in the Word of God.
Yes.
And let's put our faith in the fact that Holy Spirit leads us from the inner man, from the inside of us.
Yes.
All these other things may be affirmation or confirmation of something God is telling you. Then somebody said, yeah, but I received the Word and it was so far off the wall. Well, just put it on the shelf, is what Brother Hagin used to say. And I've had it happen in my life. I forget what it was. But I've had it happen in my life not too long ago, a couple of years ago. We were walking in something, and all of a sudden I remembered, well, that was spoken over us years and years ago. And so it was an affirmation, it was a confirmation of what we were walking in at the time. It still became a confirmation, because sometimes when a person speaks a word and it doesn't happen till years and years later, right away we label them as a false prophet. This is the other side of it. Just because, no, maybe it was for years, and maybe it's for a different season, and then it becomes a confirmation later on. I'm saying this, we must depend on the Holy Spirit within us. He is the one who leads us. Amen. And our leading comes under the new covenant. God speaks to us. Under the old covenant, it was prophet, priest, and king. And it was more of a physical, natural thing. But under the new covenant, it's all spiritual. Amen. That's why the Bible says we're all prophets, we're all priests, and we're all kings. Because we receive the leading of the Lord in that sense, that's what it means. We are prophets in that sense that we individually hear from God. Doesn't mean I operate in the fivefold ministry gift of a prophet. I'm not talking about that today. So make sure that we have sound doctrine, that we are not deceived by these outward things or our experiences. They are good. They may be good. They may be God-honoring and so on. But my faith and my foundation must be in the Word of God. It can't be in something that was spoken over me. It can't be in something that maybe God used me in a miraculous way. I can't have that as my foundation. I can't have miracles, signs, and wonders as my foundation. Am I making any sense this morning? Because it must be much deeper within me. Because if I go by experience, I'm going to have another experience down the road which kind of blows that experience apart, and then all of a sudden we're all confused. Why? Because we're not going by what God says in here. I know a while back, Donna, I guess it was soon after we started here, you said maybe we should have a seminar or a teaching about how to be led by the Spirit. Maybe we'll still do that. Maybe that would be the subject for a Saturday morning or a Saturday, like I've been saying. We'll get together for 4 hours and just teach. Maybe that'd be good. Would you like that? Yes. Now, many people already know these things, but it's good to be reminded. And it'd all be an opportunity for many others that we would invite other people to come in so they can hear the truth. Because there is so much that is happening today in the church realm that is based on experience, rather than it being judged by the Word of God. I'm not saying those experiences are wrong. I'm not saying that. But when we start seeking after those things, that is the doorway for deception to come in. Well, that was hot off the press. Hallelujah. When we start seeking after those kind of things, that will open the door for deception. Because we put those experiences at a higher level than we do the Word of God.